If you have your copy of the Word of God, we are in Judges, the 16th chapter tonight. We draw closer to the end of our study in the book of Judges. These last several chapters are just historical accounts and do not mention any more of the judges, so we'll have a couple of three more messages from that passage, and then we're going to move sometime in the next several weeks to the Gospel of John, the 17th chapter, and a study about the priestly prayer of Christ in John 17. So I hope you'll look forward in prayer to that. Tonight, the high cost of low living. Sin takes you further than you want to go. It keeps you longer than you want to stay, and it costs much more than you're willing to pay. There is a high cost to low living. Samson. It sounds like a strong name. People don't name their poodles Samson. They name their German shepherds Samson. You don't have a little dog running around called Samson. He's the big dog. He's the one that the sign says, beware. It was a serious name. God gave him that name. It was a sacred name. God gave him that name. That name was supposed to strike fear in the hearts of the Philistines. That name was supposed to stand tall and straight, strong, powerful as a deliverer of Israel. But sin drug that name through the mire and the filth of the days of the judges. And the story that I am about to read and recount in your presence tonight is a story of deception, of deceit, and ultimately of destruction. It's a love story, but don't get the wrong idea. It does not turn out, and they all lived happily ever after. It's a love story, but it's not the love of God. It's the love of self, the love of power, the love of money, the love of authority. And that kind of love wilts and withers under the judgment light of the Lord. Chapter 16, verse 1. Samson went to Gaza, and there he saw a prostitute and went in to her. The Gazites were told, Samson has come here, and they surrounded the place, set an ambush for him all night as the gates of the city. And they kept quiet all night, saying, let us wait till the light of the morning, then we will kill him. But Samson lay till midnight, and at midnight he arose and took hold of the doors of the gate of the city and the two posts, and pulled them up, bar and all, and put them on his shoulders and carried them to the top of the hill that is in front of Hebron. After this, he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. And the lords of the Philistines came up to her and said to her, seduce him. See where his great strength lies, and by what means we may overpower him, that we may bind him to humble him. And we will each give you 1,100 pieces of silver. So Delilah said to Samson, please tell me where your great strength lies and how you might be bound that one could subdue you. Permit me just to narrate the rest of the story rather than reading the entire text. She says to Samson, if you love me like you say you love me, you will tell me where your strength lies. After much nagging, he says to her, if you were to bind me with 7 green withes, vines, my power would be gone. She binds him and cries out, "Samson, the Philistines are upon you." And he rises up and pops the vines as if they were mere strings. And he goes out and defeats the Philistines. "Samson, you've deceived me. You've lied to me. You haven't told me the truth. If you will tell me the truth, you will prove your love to me. Well, if you were to bind me with new ropes that had never touched anyone else, if I were bound with new ropes, my strength would be taken away." She bound him. She cried, "Samson, the Philistines are upon you." And he came up and with one move broke the new ropes that he was bound with and went out and defeated the Philistines. "Samson, you've lied to me again. You must prove your love to me if I'm to stay with you." And all the while, she is manipulating the situation and the circumstances. And he gets a little closer to the truth and says, "These long and beautiful locks, this hair that has never been shaved, braid it in 7 braids, and my strength will be gone." He slept, she braided his hair, and shouted, "The Philistines are upon you." As before, the scripture says, he came up and defeated the Philistines. And you can almost imagine where the relationship is at this point. A shaking finger, "I'll give you one more chance. You tell me you love me, but if you continue to lie to me, I won't believe you. Where is your strength?" She has now worn him down to the place where he tells the truth. "It's in the length of my hair. I took a Nazarite vow when I was born and when I was raised, and that Nazarite vow means that if my hair is ever shaved off of my head, my strength will be gone." Could I just ask you a question, especially you that have been here most of the last several weeks? Why is he all of a sudden concerned about his Nazarite vow? He was never to drink strong drink, and yet he went down to the vineyards in Timnath. He was never to touch a dead body, and yet he killed a lion and then took from the carcass of the lion honey to eat. He was never to marry outside the faith of the Israelites, and yet 3 different women in his life, all 3 are Philistines. One is a prostitute. The other was the woman of Timnath, and now Delilah. The covenant that he had with God has not mattered up until this moment. Now it seems to matter. It's my hair. But I think if we were to be able to examine his heart, it would be more about his pride than it was his hair. "If my hair is shaved off, I will lose my strength." And now I'll invite you back to the last few verses of the scripture. She cut all his hair off. Verse 20 says, she cried out, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." And he awoke from his sleep and said, "I will go out as at other times and shake myself free." But he did not know that the Lord had left him. That one verse is a haunting verse and is worthy of my repeating. "I will go out and shake myself loose from these bonds as I always have." But he did not know that the Lord had left him. There may be someone in this room tonight. The very next trial you face, the very next temptation you face, the very next obstacle in your pathway, you may think to yourself, "I've always been able to, I will be able to again." But be careful. When you trifle with sin, when you edge closer to yielding to temptation, when you play the devil's game. The wonderful old sermon from 100 years ago, when you get a haircut in the devil's barbershop. You'll not know until it's too late that the Lord has left you. For you see, we've read dozens of times in the life of Samson, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. And 3 out of these 4 times when he trifled with what his strength was, the Spirit of the Lord came on him, and the Philistines were defeated, and she was embarrassed and shamed and had to continue to beg him, tell me the truth, tell me the truth. But this time, he'd crossed the line. He'd yielded. He'd sacrificed. He'd sinned. And he did not know that the Lord was not with him. Let me move through these 3 thoughts very quickly. This is a story of love. It tells us in verse 4 that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. A beautiful love story is a beautiful thing to think of. A beautiful love story means that 2 people who are right for one another have come together to spend the rest of their days together by the anointing and approval of Almighty God. He may have loved her, but he was not marrying, not with, not being seduced by a woman whom God would be pleased with. She was a Philistine. That seems to be one of his greatest weaknesses, women. And as a result of that, once again, we find him in the arms of a woman who helps him break the covenant that he had made with Almighty God. Now, I realize this is a Wednesday night crowd, and maybe you don't need it and just need to tell somebody who's not here that they need it. But here's the deal. Here's the deal. When you are in a relationship that God cannot bless, you are in for trouble. When you are in a relationship that God does not anoint and cannot approve, you are in for trouble. Whether it is a business relationship, I know he's not honest, but he can make me money. Or a marriage relationship, I know she's not a Christian, but I'll win her to Christ after we get married. When you are in a relationship that is not God-honoring and God-approved and God-anointed, you're in a mess. And Samson loved a woman. It's too bad he didn't love a God who had called him to sacrifice, who had called him to surrender, who had called him to deliver his people. Samson loved a woman. Delilah, she loved wealth. And let me tell you something we all missed. Back in the 3rd chapter of Judges, in the 3rd verse, we were told how many lords of the Philistines there were. There were 5. We missed it because it really didn't matter at that point. But when each one is about to hand you 1,100 pieces of silver, how many there are begins to matter. So she was going to get 5,500 pieces of silver. In today's market, that's near $1 million. Many have sold out others for far less. Many have turncoat. Many have stabbed in the back people for far less. I've got to tell you, I'm not surprised that Delilah bought that hook, line, and sinker. She was a Philistine. Can't trust Philistines. They're not godly people. They're warlike people. They're selfish people. They take, they do not give. That's the record of the Philistines throughout the book of Judges. God raises up many deliverers just because of that nation, the Philistines. I don't marvel that Delilah wanted $1 million. I don't marvel that she sold out Samson for money. She's not the first person to have ever done that. She's certainly not the last person to have ever done that. She had no reason not to do that. She was not a godly woman. That's the cost. That's the high price Samson paid for being involved with someone that was not a godly woman. Pastor, you're emphasizing that. I am. If you could sit where the pastor sit and hear the sordid tales of marriages gone awry, you'd shout, "Don't get involved with the ungodly in a marriage relationship. Don't sell out to the world. Sin costs more than you want to pay." It's a love story. It's a story of lies. Samson told three lies until he got to the truth. There was no power in binding him with 7 green branches. There was no power in binding him with new ropes. There was no power in weaving his hair together. He lied to her. She lied to him. This transaction of shaving his head was not about love. It was not about tell me and I'll know we are bonded and close and trust one another. This was not about trust. This was not about love. This was about money. Delilah told him sinister lies. If you loved me, here's what you would do. It's the message of Satan. Listen to me. It's the message of Satan that you and I can have unrequited pleasure in the flesh without paying the price. It's a lie. It's a lie. I don't care if you're 90 years old and here tonight. You and I cannot serve the flesh without paying the price. And if you don't need that, find your child, find your grandchild, tell the man you work with, tell the neighbor across the street. You cannot give in to the flesh without paying the price. If I wanted to get very personal tonight, there are dozens and dozens in this room who could stand and say, I can bear witness to that very thing. Because of choices that I have made, I have paid the price. It was a story of lies. It was a story of loss. You might not want to even think about her, but Delilah really lost something most precious. Here was a man who loved her. And for money, she threw away love. And love is not easy to come by. But she threw it away. She also lost the opportunity to be with a man God's Spirit was moving and working with, and whose spirit came upon him. And it was her manipulation that robbed from Samson the power of God upon his life. Delilah does not escape this without great loss. But the greater loss was Samson's. He lost his physical power. Now, that might not mean a whole lot to some of us here tonight. But one of the things that age robs you of is the ability to do what you once could. And the real crime is that your mind keeps telling you you can. Can I get a witness? And it's just not right that your mind will lie to you. You can jump that high. You can run that fast. You can lift what's heavy. You can go that distance. But the body says, no, not me. Samson lost his power, his physical strength. But that was a grain of sand compared to a mountain. Samson lost his spiritual power. I may have relayed this to my life group class and maybe even to the church, but I'd be foolish to think that all of you remembered it, so I want to share it again with you tonight because it fits the bill. Years ago, I visited an older woman who was completely invalid, so much so that her 24-hour day was spent in a hospital bed. I went to bless her. I left broken and humbled and blessed. When I arrived and we visited for a few moments, I said to her, what's that map on the ceiling for? And what's that list on the wall? And what's that picture over there? And she said to me, 6 hours a day, I lay on my back. And I look up and I pray for the nations. And I know them all by name. And then my nurse turns me, and I pray for the people on that list. Some of them have been saved, Brother Don. Some of them have been healed, Brother Don. Some of them have been called home to glory, so I don't have to pray for them anymore, but I just get them to add names to my list. And then I'm turned back this way. And that picture is a picture of my church that I can't go to anymore. But I pray for my church and my pastor. And they bring me, back in that day, cassette tapes of his sermons, and I listen to them. I stood there thinking, boy, I've come to this home to pray for you and to bless you and to tell you how much we who can walk and we who can get around and go around think about you. And I left and said, that's a power plant. That's a prayer factory. God's in that place. That's power. Samson lost that. He lost it. He lost his power with God. There are people in this room, there are people in this city, there are people that you know in your life that would give everything they had if the power of God would come upon them one more time. Just one more time. Just fill me with your Holy Spirit one more time. Just help me to speak the truth to my son or my daughter or my grandkids. Just one more time, God, anoint me to do for you what I ought to do. Samson lost that. He lost his fellowship with God. He lost his discernment. He should have known what that woman was doing when she questioned him. He lost his ministry. Here for a while, he was nothing close to a deliverer. His eyes were poked out. He was chained in prison. He lost his testimony. Now, I'll give you a little hope. Verse 22 says, but the hair of his head began to grow. Don't know many who've ever messed up like Samson, but you and I serve a God of the second chance. And his hair began to grow. Hair grows about 1/8 of an inch per week. Doesn't say how long it took, but it took a while, maybe years, until he's bound between pillows and the power of God comes upon him one last time, and he slays more in his death than he had in his life. And while that might sound like going out in a blaze of glory, it could have been that the whole of his life was given over to the glory of God and to the deliverance of Israel. But Samson paid a high price for low living. And we will too. We will too. If we play with sin and trifle with sin until it overtakes us, overrules us, overcomes us, and we are left shackled, not knowing that the Spirit of God has left. Mike and I will be in the altar. Might be a good night for you just to come and pray. Might be a good night for somebody to trust Jesus as your personal Savior. Might be a good night to become a part of Central Church. Might be a good night to repent. Might be a good night to make up your mind that you're going to get out of that circumstance or that relationship or that situation that is not God-honoring. Might be the last night that any one of us have. So let's stand together. Mike and I are in the altar if we can help you.